Some years back, you remember when there was a lot of terrorism and things that were in our country. I got a letter from a friend of mine that owns KNEO Radio over in Neosho, and Mark wrote me this note, and it's interesting. It says, there are terrorist groups that have been discovered in churches. So the latest news report is that 5 terrorist cells have been operating in many churches. They've been identified as been sleeping, been arguing, been fighting, been complaining, and been missing. Their leader, Osama bin Lucifer, trained these groups to destroy the body of Christ. The plan is to come into the church disguised as Christians and to work within the church to discourage, disrupt, and destroy. However, there have been reports of a 6th group, a tiny cell known by the name of Been Praying. And actually, it's the only effective counterterrorism force in the church. Unlike the other terrorist cells, Been Praying team does not blend in with whomever and whatever comes along. Been Praying does whatever's needed to uplift and encourage the body of Christ. We've noticed that Been Praying cell group has developed or has different characteristics than the others. They've been watching, been waiting, been fasting, been longing for their master, Jesus Christ, to return. By the way, to which cell group do you belong? And guess what? No church is exempt. However, you can spot them if you've been looking. I enjoyed that when he wrote that. You know, as we think today about the church that Jesus built, this message is entitled, A Family of Love. You know, this world is looking for love in all the wrong places. Ronnie Millsap wrote that song many years ago, and it's so very true. And as we think about that, the places they're looking are in alcohol or in immorality or money or power, or in this age, so much drugs, it's everywhere. They're looking for acceptance. They're looking for pleasure. But they're not finding the soul-satisfying factor that only Jesus can bring in the family of love. Can I tell you, if the church really is the family of love that Jesus built it to be, it will be one of the most attractive things to those who are outside of Christ. Because they've not found satisfaction in any of those places. They've come up more empty than before, even though they're trying to fill the void. Can I share with you today that Jesus wants the church to be a shining example of love, and he was an example of love. Would you agree with me? You know, as we think about the way that Jesus showed his love, he was loving the brethren, and he even loved individuals. You know, a lot of people love everybody in general, nobody specifically, you know. But I want you to understand that Jesus saw everyone as someone worthy of his love. And he loved in such a way that others noticed it. You remember when he learned that one of his friends that he loved, it says, had died? We read about it some in the Sunday school lesson this morning. A man by the name of Lazarus had died. And Jesus came, and when he got there, he was grieved in his spirit, and he began to weep. And you know what the people said? Behold how he loved him. It was evident. Jesus loved somebody, and it showed up. Do you know if we'll learn to love people in such a way that it shows, that it will be very contagious in the body of Christ? And other believers knew that he loved them. Lazarus knew that he was loved by Jesus. Mary and Martha knew that they were loved by Jesus. All the apostles knew that they were loved by Jesus. All of the people Jesus were healed knew that they were loved by Jesus. It was an amazing thing when they encountered Jesus. They found the embodiment of love. Well, guess what? The church is called the body of Christ. And so we are to embody the love ethic that is seen in Jesus himself. Jesus loved the lost. In Luke 19, he is standing and looking out over the city of Jerusalem. And he says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you as a hen does her chicks, but you would not have it. He was brokenhearted, though he loved them. They were rejecting him. He loved those who believed and even those who didn't. Remember the time at Calvary where one of the thieves on the cross said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom?" And he says, "Today. Today you will be with me in paradise." And then he says about those who've crucified him, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." How do you forgive people for nailing nails into your hands and into your feet? How do you forgive them for whipping you like they had whipped him? How do you forgive them for all of those things where they had spit upon him and pulled out his beard and beaten him? It was all a part of just his nature to love them anyway. That's unnatural. And yet it's supernatural. And folks, when we are filled with God's Spirit, we are unnatural, but we are supernatural. And so what we see here is that the church is somebody, is a group of people who show the picture of love. By the way, aren't we to love what Jesus loves? Well, Jesus loved the church. It says in Ephesians chapter 5:25 that he loved the church and he gave himself for it. And so when we're giving and caring for one another and trusting each other, it's a part of that family of love. It's also a place where we protect one another. We don't want people to go headlong into things that will harm them. And therefore, we help to teach them how to go the right way. We try to help them to see this is what God wants. And we correct people even when they might step outside of God's direction. That's what a family does. You know, I raised four kids, and I promise you, there were times my love didn't seem like love at the time, but it might have saved them from running into traffic. It might have saved them from a life of immorality. It might have saved them from this or that because my love was stern sometimes. Let me tell you, even in the body of Christ, there have to be some times of discipline. And when a person says, "Well, I don't belong to any particular church," then you're not submitting yourself to any kind of discipline in the family of God. You need to commit yourself to say, "I'm a part of this body. I'm a part of this family. I am working with this group of people who are a family that I love and that love me." And so when we think about that, there are many people who they don't know how to find truth because they don't understand thy word, O Lord, is truth. They're looking for it everywhere else. Now think with me for a moment. How do we test whether something is true or not? Well, does it line up with what God says about it? Because when God's word speaks about something, you've got the truth. You don't have to apologize to anybody. You don't have to back up from anybody. You don't have to cower before anybody when the truth is spoken. So when we think about that, a lot of people want to come to the Word of God and say, "Boy, I've got to feel something." No. Folks, I love my wife, but sometimes, you know, people ask you, you know, are you married? Yes. What's it feel like? When? You know, are you talking daytime, nighttime? You talking about when we're talking tenderly or when we're talking sternly? Yeah, it feels that way too. But you see, in the family of God, we need to know that we're to love all the time. And that love also is to extend to those who don't yet belong to the body of Christ. Folks, that's what evangelism is about. It's taking the gospel to other people. That was one thing I did like about the Jesus movement back in the day, was they were talking about, you know, with one hand reach out to Jesus, with the other reach out and bring a friend. Let me just tell you, that was an emphasis of that time, to bring other people in to the family of God. Church, we still need to be doing that. And then as we worship together, we're expressing love for God in our worship. I pray that you do. I used to really get irritated about worship wars, you know, where people said, well, we ought to sing hymn. No, we ought to sing choruses. We ought to sing everything that we can that brings glory to God and not get all upset about that kind of stuff. But let me tell you, I told people when I was a music director years ago, and I did that, back in the 70s and 80s, there are different kinds of songs, okay? There are songs that are testimony songs. And it's like, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, or Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. You know, those were some hymns that we would sing. There weren't a lot of choruses. There were some. But there were, you know, now there are a lot of times where we sing to God, and we've done it today, okay? And we sing, Great Are You, Lord. And I see some of us lifting our hands. You may be not be somebody who's comfortable with that. I am. Diane's not. Okay? That's okay. I remember when we were dating, she went to First Baptist Church, Miami, and it was a pretty staid, stiff congregation, you know. And I'd grown up pretty vocal about my faith, you know. And so when I would hear something I liked, I'd say, Amen. I went to church with her one time. The preacher said something. I said, Amen. And 30 rows of people turned around to look. Who's the nut? Well, just let you know that when it comes to our worship, we need to worship the Lord from our heart. And we need to be the person that God's made us to be and not worry about everybody else. All right. But when we think about the atmosphere of a loving church, our worship should show an expectancy that God will work in people's lives. Let me tell you, I really do believe that. When TJ's up here leading, I'm praying, God, speak to somebody. Open somebody's heart. Draw them to the faith. Because you see, there's some kind of bug up here. That's why they call them bugs. But anyway, our worship should be a joyous celebration of the victory that we have in Christ. And however we're singing or whatever, however we're worshiping, express it to Him. And that will be an act of love back to Jesus. We also should have a warm, friendly spirit within the congregation that as we worship, others are invited to join in and be a part of what God's doing in the family. You see, there should also be an opportunity for people who haven't yet received Christ to do so. Do you know at the end of the worship time, I oftentimes will stand here at the front and say, if you'd like to come for prayer, I'd love for you to do that. I really would. I'd love to pray with you and help you to know what it really means to know Jesus in your heart. I'd love to pray with you and help you unburden your heart for those things that are just weighing you down. Let me just tell you, there are others. Our elders would love to do that with you. Our deacons would love to help you in any way that we can. We have people standing ready to minister in the love of Christ. I tell you, I enjoyed yesterday with our men. We had elders and deacon training yesterday morning, and it was a blessed time. I mean, we spent about 4 hours or 3.5 hours together there doing some various studies and things, and all of it with the focus of trying to help our church be the church God wants us to be. Now, understand that God puts some people in the church in order that they might help steer the church in a direction that God wants it to go. You're going to be calling a pastor. Folks, when he comes, follow his leadership. He's coming to give you direction for the family of God. I'm doing so just now for that interim time in between. But I want to tell you, it's a privilege, okay, to be called your pastor even for a short time. Because as we work together, we're still moving. And we're aiming in the direction of being the church that Jesus built. You know, Jesus had something to say about love. In fact, he gave us, you know, we know about the Great Commission. Anybody know where that's at? It's at the end of the book of Matthew, the 28th chapter, right before Jesus ascends. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel and baptize people in the name of the Father. And he says, and teach them to do all the things I've commanded you. And he said, and in that I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the age. That's the Great Commission. But I'm going to show you the Great Commandment. Look at John chapter 13. In the 13th chapter of John, down at about the 34th verse, Jesus says this, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this will all men know that you are my disciples if you have rowdy business meetings. No, that's not what it said. If you have large attendance, that's not what it says. It says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You see, Jesus said, I'm giving you a commandment that you love one another. That's not an option. That's not a if you want to. What is a commandment? It's not a suggestion. I mean, when God gave Moses the 10 suggestions on the mount, that's not what he gave. He gave a commandment. And when I'm going down the road, I see those speed limit suggestions. That's not a suggestion. There'll be a gentleman come along and explain that to you and help you buy those signs. Okay? They're just not suggestions. And so when we see these things in the scripture, Jesus says, this is a commandment. And what was that new commandment? That you would love one another. Is it easy to love everybody? You know it's not. I know it's not. That doesn't give me the option to say I'm not going to love them. It causes me to dig in deeper and learn how to love them. Can I tell you, the body of Christ is a wonderful thing. And when we learn to love one another and meet one another's needs and pray for one another and find out where the concerns of that person's heart are, it's a wonderful thing. And you know what it's like to be loved? Yeah, you do, and it's a neat thing, okay? And if I were to ask you your first memories of love, it'd be your mama, okay? It'd be maybe your parents or something like that. But I want you to know that your first experience of love was, we love because he first loved us. Okay? God loved us and sent his son. Do you hear it over and over and over and over again? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Do you hear it? God is saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. Why? Because in John, 1 John it says, for God is love. And so he says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. It's throughout the scripture. And the church is to be the shining example of being a family of love. When we are, folks, you couldn't keep people away with a machine gun, okay? They say, I want to be there. I want to be a part of that family. And so when we think about this, by love we meet one another's needs, and by love we show the difference that Christ makes. And by the way, real love is shown in our obedience. That's what Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Well, folks, what are some of the commandments? Well, we know the one another commands in the scripture. Serve one another, love one another, obey those who have the rule over you. All of those kinds of things, they're in the scripture. And guess what? We have ways to obey Christ. And sometimes they're a job that we do in the church that helps us to obey Christ. Maybe you're a teacher who teaches regularly. God bless you. That's something very important in the body of Christ. But Let me tell you, Jesus loves children too. I was telling the men yesterday, when I go on mission trips, and I've been several places in the world and enjoy going to preach to other societies and other peoples and learn about their culture and learn to love them. But one thing I do everywhere I go is I get with the children. Because those children are special to Christ. Now, in their society, they may not be important. But when children find out they're important to an adult, they just flock to you. Well, guess what I found? If you find you love somebody's kids, you're going to learn how to love their parents, and their parents are going to learn to love you. And so I get with the children. Well, guess what? You're going to have an opportunity coming up. It's called Vacation Bible School. One of the most important things a church does, and we still have some needs, don't we, Amber? We need some workers. That's a short-term thing. That's something you can say, I can do something for a week. I can go to the training. I can be a part of reaching children. That's a church, that's a body of love. You need to do that. By the way, Tyson has mentioned some things in prayer time this morning, and it was about some of our members whose job is moving them away, and it's going to leave some vacancies and some need for workers regularly with children. Guess what? You could be a family of love and love kids. Kind of fun, isn't it, Barbara? I think of hips and lips every time I heard about that. Because it's just a way to communicate with kids. Well, let me tell you, if we're obeying Christ, we're going to say, yes, Lord, I'm ready. I want to serve. I'll be a vacation Bible school worker. I'll do something that will help children. I'll enlist. God wants that in a family of love. He wants a family that's a family of love to show that love to others, and especially to those that he loves unconditionally. You know, if we're loving one another, it's evident to the people that we're showing that love to. If we're loving one another, it's going to kind of sound like what we read in 1 Corinthians 13, where we call it the love chapter. Paul describes love. He said it's not selfish. It's not puffed up and proud. It doesn't behave itself in an ugly or unseemly way. It does not seek its own. I find a lot of people love themselves and not many other people. But real love doesn't seek its own. It seeks the best for someone else. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love suffers long and is kind. It's not easily provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in sin, but rejoices in the truth. Let me tell you, that's kind of a full-orbed picture of love, isn't it? It's more than just some squishy emotion. You know, sometimes I feel the love of my wife, and sometimes I just know the love of my wife, without the feeling. Well, folks, that's the same I have with my God. Is sometimes I feel it, and sometimes I just know him to be that person who loves me, whether I feel it or not. Love never fails. And so when we think about this, we need to listen to the disciple of love. John was called the disciple that Jesus loved. Now, that doesn't mean he didn't love the others. It meant that there was just a special connection. Have you got someone in life who's like that with you? I've got a couple of people that, for me, are that friend that sticks closer than a brother. And we may not see each other for years, but when we get back together, it's like we never missed a step. We're back. We're clicking. Everything's working. Diane's got some friends like that. And I love to hear her on the phone talking to one of those friends. And I just hear joy coming out of her voice. Because it's somebody she knows loves her, and she knows that she loves them. Well, let me just tell you, that is desirable to everybody. I don't know anybody who wouldn't want to be loved. But when we think of the disciple that Jesus loved, love of the brethren was a test of salvation. Okay? In 1 John chapter 3, it says, by this we know that we know him, if we love the brethren. Folks, if you don't love people in your church, you don't love other brothers and sisters in Christ, in or outside of your church, you just haven't really tasted what it's like to be where God wants you to be, in that sweet spot of being that person of love like Jesus was. So we love the brethren. Salvation is evident in the person who loves the brethren. And by the way, there's a reason we can love the brethren. It's because he started this issue of love in us. We love because he first loved us. So we should have love for God's family. We should have love for those who are lost. We should love those around us in our surrounding communities. In Jeremiah, there's a passage, everybody likes to quote it, in Jeremiah 29:11, where it says, I know the plans that I have for you, plans for a hope and a future. And he says, that when we look at that, we see that God has a plan for us. Do you know what the previous verses have just said? Jeremiah is telling them, you're going to be in Babylon a while. So plant gardens, build houses, let your children get married. And he says, in this I will prosper you. And he says, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to bless you. Folks, God has some wonderful plans for us. He has a plan for us to connect with our communities. He has a plan for us to reach out to people who are not here yet. You know, the church doesn't just exist for us. If you think that, you've got another thought coming. Because the church exists for those who don't yet belong to Christ. But just like fishing, you got to use some bait. And God puts the bait on the hook for that person who's outside of Christ. It's called the love of God's people. That's an attractive thing. And may God grant that at Lake Center Baptist Church, that we would be the church that Jesus built, a family of love. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of looking into your word today and calling the church to the nature you've given us, the nature to love. And God, I pray that just now, as we're looking forward to the day where that pastor comes who will take leadership of this body, Lord, we just pray that you'll help us to be people who are obeying your commandments. Father, help us to see those answers to prayer for workers in our Bible school and for workers in our children's area. And Father, for those places where we have don't even know the needs that we have yet, but you're going to show them to us. Father, help us to know that when we call upon you and we ask anything according to your will, you hear us. Father, we believe that. And just now, I pray, God, that you would speak to the hearts of anyone that's here who's not yet entered into a faith relationship with you. Father, if that person is hearing your voice to call them today, help them to come and say, Pastor, I need to know about this relationship with Jesus. Use this time in your church today, for we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Stand together with me as we sing.